We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
No.
The Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters. Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep Podcast Network Full House. I don't know if we can call it an emergency pod because it is the next day, but it would be a happy emergency pod regardless, as we got news late last night that Pat Connaughton, after opting into his player option, has indeed signed a 3-year extension to keep him in Milwaukee long term. This is something I guess we either expected or hoped for between the four of us in the group, but certainly a result we're all happy with, especially when we dive into the numbers. I am Ty Windisch, one of the hosts of the Eurostep, joined as always by the excited co-host Rohan Kadi, as well as the just like crystal clear video and audio today, Jordan Tresky, and the judicious Adam McGee. Oh, okay. I don't know where judicious came from, but you're judicious.
I don't know either. Yeah. What am I being judicious about? Just daytime lighting causes havoc. So we've got a light here.
Judicious about my TV show preferences.
Yeah, we were talking cinema before this. I think that's where the word came from. But fellas, how's it going?
Fantastic. Going with today's news or yesterday's news.
I'm doing well. I've slept on it and I'm doing well.
The implication that you weren't sure before you went to bed is great. So
Pat stayed for longer than I thought. And I slept. Yes, this is a good decision.
Here are the numbers on this deal, and we're going to go, there's a little bit different. The first report was 3 years, $30 million, which I think we were excited about already. Then Woj follows up with the agents tagged. So this is the real one, folks. 3 years, $28.5 million extension for Pat Connaughton with a player option. And that's important to keep in mind. This comes into play after his $5.7 million player option that he opted into for this coming season. So Pat's deal in totality is $34.2 million over 4 years with an AAV of $8.55 million. And also, you know, it'll be much less. It's obviously 5.7 in year one and then a little bit below 10 in the next 3 years. We don't know exactly if it's rising, if it's the same number all 3 years. We'll see on that later. But really just an exceptional bargain. And I do think in this case, although it's not a four-year, there's no new contract signed, right? Technically, he's still operating on the last contract with the opt-in and extension. I do think, though, it's fair to look at this as essentially a new four-year contract because Pat could have opted out and asked for that $8.5 million or more number for a new deal. And I think if you compare it to the rest of the market this summer, it's extraordinary for the Bucks. I mean, Marvin Bagley, I think, has the same or more guaranteed money and one less year on his contract than Pat Connaughton.
He's Boucher, $37.5 million, right?
I believe he is.
Yeah, he's got more.
Yes, he is.
It's more money for 3 years. Yep, $37.5 million for Marvin Bagley, which is just ridiculous. Also, 33.5-year-old Nick Batum and 37-year-old P.J. Tucker are going to make more a year over at least the next 2 years than Pat Connaughton, who I think we've talked about him a lot, but just someone we've made a Rafters case for here. Someone who's been one of the Bucks' most reliable playoff players, including most recently against Boston. This is an exceptional deal and really just reaffirms what we've been saying. Pat wanted to be here. Like, this is exceptionally team-friendly. He made it very easy for the Bucks, I think, which, you know, given his other revenue streams, maybe makes more sense for him than anyone. But we appreciate it, as hopefully this will mean more players like Bobby Portis are also able to stick around going forward.
Which he has.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
No, it's an amazing thing. Like, you've seen just a total transformation of this team ever since Bud got here, ever since Pat got here. Is it one or is it the other? Who knows? Maybe Shams did say in his tweet, well-respected leader Pat Connaughton is getting an extension. So it's clear that the team wants him to be here. He wants to be here. He's at the unveilings with Peter. He's doing pods with Peter Fagan. He's getting concert venue unveilings with Peter Fagan. He's doing everything, whatever's going on with the cluckery. He's there, I'm assuming, in spirit, maybe not in person, but he's there financially.
We should, just like maybe for legal reasons. I don't know if Pat actually has any
involvement. Yes, that is a joke.
That one is a bit that I have been running with for a long time. The other thing is it seems like he has an involvement with. But the cluckery, I mean, I've yet to see. I'm waiting on the reporting to see what this means, how many cluckery shares he may have got on the side of this deal. But for legal reasons,
yes, he's not Pat actually involved.
Is not actually an owner of the cluckery that we know of.
Yes. Exactly. To our knowledge. But no, this is a fantastic deal from just a pure basketball perspective. Pat, like you said, Ty, has been one of the most reliable players for the Bucks throughout his time in Milwaukee. He's just been one of those guys you can constantly, constantly rely on. He's gotten better every single year he's been in Milwaukee. It's just, he's a guy you just want to keep around. And he wants to stay around, so they got a deal done. Simple as that.
Bucks just love doing deals with Jeff Schwartz clients, right? Isn't that, we're still at that? I was trying to remember, is that how we greeted this initially when Pat first signed for the Bucks?
100%, yeah.
Was it something everyone's like, oh, another Jeff Schwartz guy? We've come a long way since then. This is great. I think we all have reached a point where Pat is like this universally beloved figure within the Bucks. But he isn't just like a cult figure either. We recognize him as a pretty essential cog of this team for what he gives them, particularly when it comes to the postseason. He's one of the most reliable performers. He's a guy that at this point we all trust to stand up in the biggest moments and be a reliable contributor. And let's be honest, there are still players that we really like on this team who have a lot of potential, have done a lot of good stuff that we probably don't feel exactly that way about. So on the Pat front, he's someone you really want to have around. And I think it's one thing saying we feel that way. It goes out saying that Bud feels that way. He's one of Bud's most trusted guys on the floor. John Horst clearly does too. Of course, he has the Peter Fagan endorsement. This now brings him up probably right around the age of 34. Gonna guess we'll get a one-year deal after that, and then Pat's gonna take over for Peter Fagan or something like that and head up Bucks business operations. This is clearly, there's a long-term vision here. Pat's got his eye on it. He hasn't got a Peter Fagan bobblehead on his desk for no reason. But no, very, very happy that, you know, Irish national team superstar Pat Connaughton is going to continue his association with the Milwaukee Bucks for the foreseeable future.
You got to get working on him now.
Tell me about it. He needs to be a man of his word, you know? In business, you can't just say things and not follow through, right? So he said a lot of stuff. He needs to come over and suit up.
He's a business man. He's a business man. It was a nice bit of pre-agency. That's what I'm going to call this. Pre-agency. Because he could have easily gone into free agency and chose not to. And then basically gave the Bucks a bargain. Even though it's like, I would say it's a fair deal for both sides. I would probably tilt more towards the Bucks' favor, just because Pat is there. Since Bud has come to Milwaukee, he's their development figure, like the wing university and all that stuff that predated by coming to Milwaukee and everything like that. Like, Pat was a cast off from Portland, and like where he, how far he's come, where he's become improved in basically every area of his game. Trusty, like as Adam mentioned, Bud trusts him more, a lot more than of the non-stars edition than any, a lot of role players that have come through, even including like Bobby in some, you know, cases, obviously with the Brooklyn series last year. But like, Pat's been through all this. Giannis and Chris have their own journey, and obviously that predates Bud and just goes back to Kidd and, I mean, Larry Drew. But Pat, along with like Brooke and obviously Bud, like that's the new iteration. They've gone through all the highs and lows of the last 4 years and counting. And from that angle, like, I mean, we've seen how he's embraced his role, and talking about the bench mob from that, you know, from that season, honestly, and then to where he is now, where he's like, it's not necessarily like a sixth man, but he just can do a little bit of everything. And that's exactly what the Bucks have wanted out of him. I don't know. It's, again, solid deal for everybody, and it extends Pat's stay in Milwaukee. Considering we were maybe talking about a month ago where we're like, oh, is it Pat or Bobby if that's how the choice is going to be made? You know, like, that's where it's even greater than where just him picking up his option in the first place. And then now that we're talking about him staying alongside the core, yeah, how can you not be thrilled with this news?
He did the Bucks a bit of a solid. I think Ty is right in talking about the 4 years, $34 million, which is what he's currently under contract for. Like, he could have got more than that. Yeah, I really think he could. Years, I always felt, were what was going to be most important to him. He's talked about, like, to make all the jokes about, you know, the dual sport athlete and the fact that he could have went and been in Major League Baseball. This is the path he chose, and kind of every year he's another guy from early in his career, particularly in Portland, before he arrived to the Bucks and ascended to his current status, where it's like, I want to prove that I'm like a 10-year NBA guy. I want to have that kind of career, and he's going to have that at then some. He's an NBA champion. He's going to be a legend in Milwaukee for the rest of his life. That's maybe part of what comes in there. But for me, what's really interesting, there's two things. One, just to imagine the Bucks now, like, it's one thing getting these guys, it's one thing the development working out, them being strong fits, you winning a championship. They all want to stay. Like, that is such a seismic shift in just what the Bucks are, and honestly what that means for the Bucks in the short term, in the medium term, over the remainder of Giannis's career, and even possibly beyond, because all of the work that had to be done to change the reputation the franchise had with players and within just the wider NBA, that has been done. Guys want to come and play here as things are right now. That's a big, big deal. Just a complete shift in culture. I don't know. It's the kind of thing we'll kind of talk about now and then we move on with it, but it's so seismic. Like, it's something we couldn't imagine. Even when there's been nice deals or players we've been excited about in the past, we're always under the impression. And it's even the kind of thing, say, Brooke was probably the first guy in this mold to do it because they signed him for 1 year. He's a great year. And you're like, oh, is he just going to go back to an LA or go to a New York or take a bigger payday elsewhere? And he's like, no, I'm staying here. Like, that's the start of it. And that is just something that, honestly, we couldn't have dreamed of 5 or 6 years ago for guys with the Bucks. The other thing, which maybe we'll get into towards the back half, is this is really interesting organizationally, how they've handled things this offseason, because we have been in a cycle which is not good for the team when you don't have a whole lot of salary to play with, where every offseason it's like, okay, this crucial guy is coming up. How are we going to work this out? And how we're going to have to use one of our few tools in free agency, one of our exceptions on him to help bring him back. And we're just going year after year through this cycle. And at this point, Horst, the Bucks ownership, have just kind of said, enough. Let's kind of clear out. Let's make it a very, very nice, neat picture for the next few years of who's under salary, what our roster looks like. It doesn't mean that there won't be trades. In fact, it's much more likely there will be trades at some point, given the business the Bucks have done. But it does take some of the year-to-year concern and dread that I think whenever free agency came around, we had, where it's like, if this team performs well, stays healthy next year and gives us another season like the last season and obviously like the season before that, the levels of concern aren't quite there. We know Brook and obviously his age and his long-term future, that's the thing that we all have question marks over. But outside of that, if everything keeps working, the books are kind of locked into who they are for the next few years. That's a big, big deal.
And it's in a good way, I think. You know, they're locked into a bunch of players in their 20s mostly. And then, of course, Brook is older. And they're not locked into Brook. That's the interesting thing we'll talk about in a little bit is possible other extensions, which I do think are, I don't know if I would say likely, but certainly on the table, given we are seeing this team, like, they want to play together. You know, they want to stick around. They want to continue what they've built and go win another championship. But you're talking about, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Pat's deal is now essentially, outside of the value, obviously, the same as Giannis's, 3 guaranteed years and then a player option. You've got Chris with 1 more guaranteed year and a player option. Drew with 2 years and a player option. Grayson has 2 years. Beauchamp has up to 4 years, hopefully. Bobby Portis is the same as Giannis and Pat on that 3 years and then a player option cycle. So it does seem like the Bucks want to largely have this core for the next couple of years. We'll see about the other guys coming up, especially Brook Lopez, which is fun. You know what's funny about the Brook thing is I remember when that was signed, I think almost all of us, maybe not Adam, but there was a lot of, oh man, how's that going to age, right? Oh man, he's getting a little older. Last 2 years of that might be tough. And obviously he had the injury this past year, but when he came back, he was the same old Brook. I don't think anybody going into the last year of that deal right now is going, oh, I don't know about this season. I think it's like, oh God, I hope they can get him for a couple more years, maybe at a little less money, which I think is just great. Shout out to Brook for aging very gracefully. But yeah, I mean, I think the core is pretty well established. Obviously, you've got guys like Javon Carter, who's on a 1-1, Wes Matthews, who's expiring, some of your more tertiary pieces. For now, we'll see what Javon can do this season. But otherwise, I think they're in a position where they either have locked up all the guys they need to, or they'll have the ability to. You know, like they don't need an exception to keep Chris, to keep Brook. They have full bird rights. They don't need an exception even for Ingles. If Ingles fits in really well and wants to stay, his non-bird, you can pay him basically the same amount, which is why doing a 1-year deal for him was really smart. So I think they're in a really good position now to say, we've got our stability. We can use our draft picks, the few that we have, and whatever MLEs we have to kind of take some flyers. But we've got our core. And like you said, Adam, we're not going to enter the 23 draft going, we desperately need this. We desperately need 2 rotation players, you know, from our bad options. You've got 5 or 6 locked up for the next few years now.
It's all about keeping continuity, especially when you're a super good team like the Bucks. It's like, why would you not want to keep this sort of team together, you know? And especially like you guys have mentioned, keeping that flexibility open with having tradable salaries. Someone say Kevin Durant. I'm kidding. Or am I? Am I kidding? Yeah.
I hope you are, Rohan.
Why? Would you say no to KD?
Don't ruin this era of good feelings and culture by wanting to blow up the team for Kevin Durant. I don't want to talk about it right now.
Works really well for all those other teams that it's a different go. Let's get Kevin Durant.
Yeah, the Warriors had a real good time with that. A team with established culture bringing in Kevin Durant.
Why are we talking about Kevin Durant on this podcast?
They got to keep all their guys. I get Kevin Durant.
No more uttering his full name. I don't care about this whole
Kevin
saga
Wayne
anymore.
Durant?
You can only say it if you say Wayne. Yeah, I don't know. But, is there any last thoughts? The one last thing I was going to say, piggybacking off what you said, Rohan, this is also like exactly what Giannis wants, right? I think that's an important consideration too. Like there are some stars, LeBron, who are eager to punt their teammates and coaches into the sun every few months if things aren't going right. That's like a totally fair statement. Like I don't feel like that's a hot takey thing. We've seen it happen so many times. Giannis wants the opposite, right? Giannis wants the good guys, good players, guys who play defense and can make shots around him on the team. He's made that very clear. They've brought most of their free agents to Greece earlier this summer before they were even signed outside of Pat and his player option. Like this is, you know, all franchises with superstars, you know, they can try as they might to build a culture, but it all really comes from the superstar at the end of the day. The Bucks wanted to be the Spurs. They needed Giannis to be like Tim Duncan to do that. they've gotten extraordinarily lucky because that's who he is. And I think he's going to be thrilled to have all of his guys here for the next few seasons as he tries to win more championships.
Can we get The Rock?
Jordan's on mute.
Rock?
Jordan's muted.
His mic is muted. It's a new mic. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, you're back.
There you go.
There we go. Good Lord. I will add another point, if I may.
You may.
It's fair to say that whenever free agency or anything that comes across as, you know, we're not talking about the Drews, Giannis's, or Chris's. We're talking about like the lower level tier of players like Brooke, Pat, Bobby, that kind of, that's been through the championship and all that stuff. And when it comes to ownership, we're just like, well, they let Malcolm Brogdon walk once upon a time. They let PJ Tucker walk even when they had full bird rights over him. And it's interesting to see those decisions now versus the guys that they're keeping around and stuff like that. But the point that I'm trying to make is like, when it comes to retaining these guys, there's of course that like natural question of like, well, are they going to break the bank? Is ownership going to break the bank with luxury tax payments? Because that's all what it is. There's nothing to it more than just how much are they willing to spend? And this offseason, they have shown, yeah, we lost game 7. Probably should have gone farther if Chris is healthy. That might be a bigger question as time moves forward. And their inclination was, we're going to keep the same team, add a little bit of Ingles. Sorry, Rohan. And
Rohan should be saying sorry to us, Jordan.
Exactly. But
how am I getting? I didn't say anything.
Oh, you said a lot. Not right now, but you said a lot.
Yeah, I just have flashbacks of the playback.
Rohan's takes were so hot. It's like a Marvel movie. Like they cascade through time, and we have to keep arguing with them every podcast. Yeah. Not new takes.
No. The last win in 6. Yeah. I was listening to that. You guys had to change the conversation because you were arguing with a person who wasn't on the podcast.
Your takes were so hot, they cut through time.
That's podcasting in general. Eurostep,
where you were arguing with me and I wasn't there, so I had to return the favor. You were like, "Oh, Adam's not here now, so by the way, you know, I got to say all these points that I had to just go, yeah, okay. Listen, it's gonna go all season. Tell you about the Marvel movie. This is like a Marvel TV show where before every episode, we're going to have to go previously on and we're going to have to play Rohan.
That's great. Joe Ingles. Everyone should listen to the last 10 pods every time a new pod drops just to make sure they have all the context. Also, actually, we did. We'll talk very briefly about it. Rohan and I did an emergency pod for Chris's injury. He had wrist surgery. So check that out if you're seeing this as the newest one. We've also got 20 minutes or so on Chris, what that means for the rotation, etc. We'll talk a little bit about it later, but full thoughts on that can also be found at that pod. See, you gotta watch all the shows. You gotta watch all the shows to know what's going on.
The GSP.
Can I say something on Jordan's actual point there before Rohan derailed us about Joe Ingles again?
His rage seething underneath
this. This ownership group have frequently made mistakes. What they have also done is pretty routinely come back the next year and be like, okay, we're not doing that again.
Yep.
And I do see a lot of this as a reaction to I think they know they made the wrong decision on PJ Tucker, and the way the playoffs played out, they could have used another guy. It's not like that's exactly what you need and it's like for like, but if PJ Tucker was out there, would they have had a better chance? Yes. And I'm sure they sat there, watched that and were like, what are we doing? Like, why did we do that? And there is a feeling of a correction to that. Now, you may be a year late, but this does remind me of something we've seen with them and something they deserve credit for. I would rather if they didn't make the mistakes, but hey, if you're going to make mistakes, learn from them, come back and don't do it again. It goes back to like Jared Dudley and Zaza Pachulia and all those guys just being like talking about punted into the sun because it's like, oh, they're old, don't need them. For nothing, because they'd no value on it. And they later admitted, we did not know how the NBA works. We didn't understand the value guys like that have. And interestingly, completely different team, completely different level, completely different expectations. Pat Connaughton kind of fits that kind of mold of the, not quite the age profile of those guys yet, but of what like Dudley, Ersan, Zaza were on that team. You're not talking your core starters. You're not talking about a guy your future is built around, but kind of glue of the team as role players. Guys that are really important in the locker room, really important in what they can give you in various different roles. And it's something ownership deserve credit for, because as much as they've made mistakes and we've got on their case, every time they've done it over the years, they do generally react to that and correct it. You can kind of see it in some pretty clear ways. This feels like one of them.
Yeah, and I think also worth noting, just to make it crystal clear, they used all the possible spending power this summer, except for potentially maybe even the 15th roster spot. I mean, they're at 14 now, pending surge, and with Wara still in restricted free agency, which
does, does Jordan Wara know he's a free agent?
I don't know.
Is do you think he's still under contract? Has no one told him?
And he could be, like, if he signs a document in the next 6 days.
He can I was going to say, there's a deadline for his qualifying offer, right?
The 19th, I believe. July 19th is what I've... That's what Rare keeps saying in the Discord. Shout out Rare. I didn't actually look it up, but I'm going to take his word.
I'm going to make a Photoshop of, instead of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, is where in the world is Jordan Wara.
Somewhere where some Milwaukee Bucks are. But
wherever, wherever the rest of the Bucks
Is he in Vegas right now with the rest of the Bucks?
He was,
But now he might be back to Greece. You know, he might be Australia. Buffalo? Maybe he's going to pull up in Australia next. Who knows? He'll be by Milwaukee.
No, he's planting seeds early. He's going to France to meet up with Hugo Bisson after he's done with Summer League.
That's
Adam's maybe theory.
Tony Parker was there the other day. Maybe he offered him a contract.
That would be fun for Jordan Wara. But he's the only player who headed into free agency this year for the Bucks who they haven't brought back. I think it's pretty rare around the league. Like, they literally, maybe literally everyone, but otherwise almost all of their free agents. I mean, they've now released Luka Vildoza and Rajon Tucker, who they now made free agents. So those guys, although they are still on the Bucks org as of right now, they may not end up there. At least
They did sign them again.
Yeah, they did.
To training camp deals. Yes.
Yeah, but it's still resigned.
Same as Lindell.
Yeah.
Like, they're all technically under contract. Jordan Wara is just like, we're all coming back, right, guys?
It's up to him. He could, as long as they keep that qualifying offer out. I noted in Eric Name's interview with Bobby Portis. What was the term, Rohan? You have a better memory than
negotiating.
Me? Negotiating. Yeah, I don't know if that's a throwaway because that's just an RFA thing or what, but I did think that was interesting.
Jordan Wara is negotiating?
Yeah, with the Bucks.
What's there to negotiate?
Well, contract.
I
know, but it's like, here's the offer sheet. You're either signing that. Like, the Bucks don't want them for any more than that. I'm surprised they want them at that.
Exactly. We don't know what's going on. Maybe they're still in. Maybe they're like, hey, the scoring potential, we're still in. I don't know. I think it's a little wild, but hey, if you're going to go all in on continuity, and the worst part of that is you keep Jordan Wara on a small deal for a couple of years, there's worse things that have happened.
Wara the Explorer.
He'd be untradeable if he signs the offer sheet, right? You can't trade someone who...
Yeah.
Pull the offer sheet. This is a terrible idea.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Because how much is the...
You're going to be locked into 15 roster spots.
It's like $2 million.
Yeah.
It's essentially like a minimum contract.
Worst comes to worst, you can just cut him.
That'd be an expensive
move. Seems like
they're
throwing money away now. What a shift for the...
I know. Really, it's like very strange.
Hey, I'll take this version.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to spend too much.
Once it doesn't lead to a correction next year, where they're like, whoa. Although, as we said, most guys are under contract. So
Wes Edens, I'll take $1 million.
Rohan, just throwing that out there.
You're going to play for Aston Villa, Rohan.
Sign me up. I'm going to be the worst player on the team, but I'll do it.
One other thing on Pat.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna address this directly to you, Jordan. Of course, want the opinions of Ron and Ty too. I'm gonna direct this to you, Jordan. Is Pat now the Johnny Mac of this version of the Bucks? Like, just to try to map out who is he going to be, what is his legacy going to be? That's the one that stands out to me. One, in part because of some of the role, the kind of player he is. Also, it does feel like genuinely Pat could be someone who's around the organization for a long time in whatever capacity he chooses. Are you feeling that one too? As that's kind of the comp, if we're looking from the previous championship team to this team and mapping who's who onto it, that Pat is now the Johnny Mac figure?
I, of course, did this last night because I can't help but flashback to early Bucks years.
The 70s.
Yes. Yeah, I think that is probably the best example or like comparison. I mean, Johnny Mac is a successful business owner and
he is. The Mac know, Fund.
Everything with the Mac Fund too. Like, granted, you had to have that when you were playing that era and, you know, nothing was really guaranteed playing in the pros. But yeah, I think Pat, I mean, that's the case with this whole era. Weirdly enough, is like there's more continuity between this Bucks era than, I mean, even against it's nearing Nelson, early Nelson years, yeah, before they did the major shakeup trade with Marcus. So that's where it's like, we talk about Bucks culture and all that stuff too. Like, again, this is largely unrivaled in the history of the team. And so that's where it feels unprecedented with that. Like, it's not necessarily like, or it's part of players want to be here. They want a championship. They want to see it all. They obviously see that they can maybe win another one. Whether they do that, it's very hard to win a championship as we have experienced. But the organization being able to retain guys like Pat and Bobby and making big moves like Drew, especially after learning, you know, moving on from Malcolm and then seeing how Eric Bledsoe struggled in the playoffs again and just kind of the writing was on the wall. It's that kind of, you know, not trade-off, but like symbiosis. Why can I say this word? Symbiotic relationship. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
That has made this Bucks culture an actual thing.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I think it begins with Bud, because we've seen this a lot coming, yes, out of players who have re-signed with the Bucks. I know in Eric Name's article, Bobby Portis talks about how, oh, that was cute. You were both in the sink drinking your water for the YouTube viewers. Sorry. Bobby Portis was talking about how, like, the Bucks organization, this Bucks team, allows him to feel free, be who he wants to be in this team. Javon Carter, when he first came with the team, he told me and Ty, like, Bud's a guy who lets you be who you want to be. And this is, I asked him straight up, is that a common thing in the league? He said, no, it is not. So I think a lot of this comes down to Bud. Bud deserves a ton of credit here, because he had to come in and just build from absolute scratch, because it was whatever the opposite of culture is, was set, like, was in Milwaukee before Bud got here, without naming names. You all know who I'm talking about. I don't want to utter that name. But Bud's really, he's built this team, this franchise really from the ground up. Like he's had to. And I think he deserves a ton of credit for that because he left
Spurs. It's Spursy.
It's Spurs. It's Spurs. It's, exactly.
I know he didn't have the chance to do this in Atlanta because they moved on from Damari Carroll.
The guys chose to go elsewhere, though. It's like he did build, he built a version of this, and you obviously get the five guys winning player of the month, the four All-Stars, and then the end of that season comes, and in particular, it was Horford stunned the Hawks by opting to leave for the Celtics the first time. Like, completely stunned them. No one saw that coming, and they're like, oh, God, what have we got to do? And they end up with Dwight Howard, and the whole thing falls apart because they were not prepared for Al Horford to go elsewhere. So, like, he built that, and those guys talked about it in the same way, and it was like, Kyle Korver, what was he elsewhere? Like, he's a good shooter, but no one thought of him as the shooter that he ultimately came to be known as because no one just signed him and was like, we're just going to play to what you do, Kyle Korver, as opposed to we want you to do a little bit of this. Can you do this? That's just not how Bud operates. And
he empowers his players to be who they are.
Yeah, they get on the same page and they're like, we need this. Let's find a player who can do that. So when you bring the player in, you're not asking them to do something they're not comfortable with. Like, you can work on that. You can try to add new skills too, but it's all about additive rather than you need to do this instead of this. Like, that is very much a feature of all Bud's work, and that is Spursy for sure.
And I will say, sorry to interrupt you, Adam. Just another point, like, to go on with Spurs and Bud, like, obviously Giannis deserves a lot of credit here. Because, like you're mentioning with the Hawks culture, like, the Hawks never had as good of a player as Giannis, which I think feeds into it because there was like a ceiling for what that Hawks team could do because of their talent. Like, Giannis supersedes, like, he makes that ceiling go through the roof. To quote Michael Jordan, the ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof.
There you go.
That fell apart.
I think it actually makes more sense than Michael Jordan's quote.
Yeah,
yours was okay. The Hawks did not be Giannis because they literally didn't get Giannis because of the Hawks. That's the funny thing. Bud could have had a team like that, like, in a much more literal way, if not for all of that.
Shout out John Hammond.
But I do think it's not necessarily they didn't. That's a good point because it's not like, oh yeah, obviously Giannis. I mean, Giannis is Giannis in all these very unique ways. But it also, based on how Giannis wants to be coached and he wants to be held accountable. And you look around the NBA, that is not a given that superstars are going to want to be.
He sets the tone.
Yes.
He's not looking for Steve Nash's coach either, is a key detail here.
Exactly. So from that standpoint, it's like, yeah, you're going to have easier buy-in from Bobby, Pat. Just that kind of, the role players that, you know, are lift up the Bucks based on their presence being there, but it's hard to find when you don't have a guy like Giannis saying, like, if he's getting coached that way and Bud is getting his face for, you know, not getting enough effort defensively or whatever, that's unique. That's unique to this whole thing that is going on right now. And it's very easy to get like,
they do it in a different way though, because the Bucks, like Giannis, they've had coaches before that like will hold them accountable for things, but it's in a different way. Like, everyone remembers the Bucks in Utah and Giannis telling was it Sean Sweeney that I'll F you up? Was that Sean Sweeney?
Brogdon shrugging his shoulders on the bench that time, all of that stuff. But I mean, that's like, you can't undermine, like, let's say if you're particularly the Bobby Portis, the Pat Connaughtons, like, you're a role player and you could be a starter at times, but there are other times where you may not be. And like Bobby in Brooklyn and that series, that's a great example of it. You can't disrupt things and undermine Bud because that's not how Giannis rolls. That's not how Chris rolls. So if they're not doing it, you can't, because you're going to lose that battle. You're going to lose that battle with your teammates as well, which is like, as a point of comparison, we look at the weird Cam Thomas clip from Vegas the other day. It's like,
I do think
if Durant and Kyrie are kind of on one side of things and undermining your coach, well, then someone as lowly as the guy who's playing Summer League in Vegas is going to roll his eyes and questions. And the whole thing
We have another example. Sorry.
To give some context for that Cam Thomas thing, though, like it's not exactly what it appears to be on face value, because Cam Thomas was talking earlier about like how he's tired of that narrative around Steve Nash. So it's not necessary. Like your general point still stands. But like the Cam Thomas thing is a little.
Yeah, Eric Bledsoe was at a salon, so it's not really. I don't know why people think that it's something that it's not. You know?
I mean,
he was at a salon, so.
Yeah, he didn't want to be in that salon.
You know? Yeah, that's it. That's all. And Cam Thomas was making a really meta reference.
I missed Cam Thomas having
interview.
a convenient explanation, is what it sounds like.
So
your point is fair. You're right to provide the facts. At least as they seem to be out there.
I'm saying it might not. I'm not saying it guaranteed is or isn't.
It is.
Rowan out here chilling for Cam Thomas.
Cameron Tom. That's how I call him.
So I'm trying to get some clarity on this, but according to the CBA FAQ, today, July 13, is the deadline for teams withdrawing unilaterally a qualifying offer. They can only withdraw it after that players.
We're gonna have to Rohan had a face.
We should looked up this detail earlier, Ty.
Yeah. So anyway, let's just sit here on this pod until we get some news either way, and it'll just be however long it is. And also, they could trade him with his consent, as long as they're. Oh wait, no, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Never mind. Forget that last part. That was awful.
But not
sheet.
The first part.
Should
the
I do my Woj good. Impression where I'm looking good. At my phone right now? Be like,
sure.
This just in. sorry. There's no news.
They're going to wait till we finish.
11:59 Eastern time.
I hope so. That's in a few minutes.
It's in an hour.
No, it's not.
Time once again, stumps Rohan.
Listen, okay? Like, I did not wake up a long time before we started recording this episode.
To bring it back to the matter at hand, right? We're talking about Pat. Pat would want us to talk about business, okay? It's good for business. In a very, like, when we look at why they're doing this too, you win a championship, and this is something we talked about when PJ went. It makes sense if you want to not just kind of get the most out of that team as a competitive team, not just get the most out of that team in a financial sense, but if you want to like continue to make lifetime Bucks fans, give fans years of watching these guys. Like you've watched Pat Connaughton, you've watched Bobby Portis, you remember their contributions to winning a championship, and oh wait, they're back and they're going to keep going. Like I don't think that should be overlooked either. In terms of stability, it is the best way forward for the Bucks to build a competitive roster right now because they don't have cap space. But it's also something that for their brand and for kind of building out the reputation of the Bucks and the longer lasting legacy of this team, it matters too. And it gives, whether it's younger fans or it's fans who've come to the team in recent years, you guys may be better placed than me to talk at some of that. Maybe not, but I no doubt that those people exist. Even if not in Milwaukee, they exist around the world. You want to keep tapping into that. It doesn't hurt you to be like, oh, look, it's the same guys again. And this is an advantage competitively the Bucks have had, which is you look at the landscape around the NBA and it's like every team, it's constant change. Year in, year out right now, people can be like, oh, look, there's the Bucks. They look like last year's Bucks. And when everyone else has all these question marks hanging over them, we know what they're going to give.
So if a player would have non or bird rights at the end of a season, including first round picks following their fourth season, who then accept the qualifying offer for their fifth, which I assume would also apply to Wara, they basically would have a no trade clause. So it would be up to Wara. He'd have to consent to a trade because you lose your bird rights if you're traded on a 1-year deal.
Makes sense.
We just rarely see it because the qualifying offer is so rare to actually be signed. But here we are, maybe past the deadline of the Bucks being able to pull it, with it still out there to Jordan Wara, as far as we know.
Bruce Brown was the last guy to do it. He did it last season. Before then, I can't remember.
That sounds
Greg Monroe,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think other players have done it in there. No, I don't think so.
Oh, that declined the – or
no, that signed the qualifying offer.
Yeah. Was that KCP? Did KCP do that too?
I think he did.
Maybe.
That sounds potentially correct?
Doesn't sound very clutch.
Well, he did take a lot less to play in LA than he did in. And he would have got, he got a huge offer from Detroit that he turned down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Duncan Smith was all on KCP.
Anyway, yeah, it's a good player. Makes a lot more than Pat Connaughton now. Anyway,
it's true.
Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton could both sign extensions before next season starts. I believe Chris has a deadline around the start of the season. Brook at basically any point, kind of think. Do you guys think it's likely that one or both of those players would do that? I personally think it's more likely Chris would, and that it would be some. My example contract for this is the Kyle Lowry extension, 3 years, $85 million, less than he made annually over his last two contracts when he signed that. But just a little bit of acknowledging there that, you know, a little bit older, I don't need to make more every year. I've banked a lot of money already, which is also true for Chris. I've won a championship as the second best player on the team, which is also true for Chris. And I would like to continue playing for a winner. Lowry did that when he moved to Miami. Chris, obviously, we'd hope would be sticking around, but he could accept or decline his player option and then do that. So I certainly think it's possible. I would say a little likely. That's what I hope the news was yesterday when we found out he got surgery. But what do you guys think?
Give me a percentage and one to 100% likely.
55.
Of course.
What does he mean, of course?
It's like right in the middle.
Well, yeah, it's close. It's what I had to go. Did you want one or 100? You said I could go any number in between. No. I didn't do 50.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fair.
Why not 56, Ty? Why not 56?
Yeah, let's not get carried away.
Is Chris Middleton, like, at worst the sixth best player in franchise history?
I think
he's higher than that off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, at worst.
Oh, yeah, at worst, probably.
Who have you... this is the good stuff, Rowan.
Oh, boy.
Who have you got in the conversation here? Who are the other five?
Break out your Bardo board.
Oh, God. Maybe we should just move on.
One, Brian Winner.
Like I think about it.
Two, Josh Boschkol. Or Jake Boschkol, whatever his name is.
Kent Benson.
No, I mean,
Paul McKesson.
Nader, anyone?
Giannis, Kareem, Sidney, like who else? Like Marcus Ray is Allen. In there. Ray Allen.
I think Ray Allen's is hot pretty high.
I think Chris is better than
me. No, I don't think it depends. It's
I
always
think Prime Ray was better than Chris, personally.
Okay, so is but that
as
what
a,
we're
as
talking?
A buck, as a buck.
Oh, yes. If we're talking, so this, are you saying greatest?
The greatest and best is the thing, Rohan. This
greatest
is
top four. Chris is top four on greatest.
Okay, I'll say best then. Oscar.
Chris is better than Prime Oscar on the Bucks.
That's true. So let's say fourth or fifth.
To me, greatest books, it's Giannis, Kareem, Sid, Chris.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
At this point. Because he's got the longevity, too, is the thing.
Yeah. He's got the longevity. He's got the accolades. I need Chris to make it all NBA team, man.
I know.
To Ty's point, if it's best players to ever play for the Bucks, Ray Allen is absolutely a better player.
But yeah.
He's certainly top 10. But
oh, yeah.
Would Gary Payton technically be on this?
Not higher than Chris.
No, not
sure.
The Bucks version of him.
Yeah.
But best.
The general point I'm trying to make here is that Chris is a legend of the Milwaukee Bucks franchise. So I do think it's likely that an extension gets done. I'll say 70% tie. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Because I think if the Bucks recognize that he is one of their greatest players, I hope they do. I really hope they do. Chris obviously wants to be like a historical figure for this franchise. It makes sense to get years added on as soon as you can. And especially with a guy who's still in like the latter stages of his prime, but at the later stages of his contract, is probably going to take a little bit of a dip in production levels as the years go on. Hopefully not. But we have to be realistic here. I think you're going to want to tack on as many years as early as possible.
I don't see the rush from the Bucks side. We've got 2 years here. He's opting into that player option for the juicy
big player option.
Million.
I could. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Either maybe he could opt in and extend for maybe one more year. or opt out and then get the money spread out over a few years, I think would be the main couple options.
Basically what they do with Drew.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see the urgency yet, honestly, and from the book's point of view. And I mean, to your point about Chris and the status within books, as we just said, he already has that status. Like, that's there no matter what. And even if this came to free agency, like, if Chris is still a Chris, Chris probably stays with the books, and the books probably pay Chris to stay at the books. I don't see the urgency for him right now.
With the injuries, there's a little more urgency from Chris's side right now.
Yeah, but not for the books. For sure not for the books. Like,
well, yeah.
To your, I don't know question, if
that's true. I don't, to your I question, think they like having the guys locked up.
Yeah. That's where...
I think Brooke, for me, is the one. Not for any like significant length of time.
A year.
But they may like an extra year on Brooke right now so that they're fully sure of where things stand. Because that's the thing coming up next offseason.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I don't think they need to act on Chris right now.
I think the Brooke, what happens with Brooke is a lot more. I can see it easily being like done and we're like, oh, well, it wasn't that big of a question. But it's also, again, we're coming off a season where he had back surgery. And
exactly.
We saw how the center position, they didn't really, maybe we talked about after last week. I went 6 with Ty and it's like, they didn't really have any succession plan. So it's either you're going to extend him another year or maybe more. Who knows how they view this.
Like get one of those JaVale McGee land deals, get him locked in until he's like 38.
Or they're eventually just going to go something entirely different. And I don't, either direction's really fascinating just because something's, they're approaching a fork in the road that, you know, their best center and since Kareem.
I'd argue since Bogut.
No.
Bogut
was better, but he played on bad teams. Yes. And also
since Larry hurt. Sanders.
It's a tough comparison to make generally because like what? Ron, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to get in a plan.
This John Henson. I'm kidding, Adam. Come on.
I love Brooke. Not funny. Oh, it doesn't seem like it.
I do.
I mean, my thing with this, the conversation, like the points you just put forward about Chris Middleton, and we talk about his place in franchise history and all of this, and what we talk about Pat, we've been doing it. We have a what is now not really ironic rafters bit going on.
True.
For Pat.
It's never ironic.
Sure. Brooke Lopez, we're talking about, and where Brooke stands and his importance to these teams. It's like, we can't talk, oh, you know, they're going to want to make sure Chris. It's like, one, Brooke is the position they do not have a solution for just yet. I fully get the concerns about his back. He was really good in the playoffs. Looked great. All of the talk from him and from the Bucks is he feels better. He's in better shape than he's been in years. Chris, I'm honestly a little concerned about Chris's health. Just because he has a weird accumulation where he is picking up an injury here, an injury there, and it's kind of, I don't know, it feels like year to year there's always something with Chris now, which maybe it's not the same, and I know a big guy and they're back, like that is the kind of thing that brings down a career. But there is just this accumulation with Chris where it's like,
it can slip quickly.
Is he breaking down? Like, he's not breaking down yet, but it wouldn't shock me even with generally his style of play and how he moves. If he was a guy who he could still have a silky jump shot and he could be able to play till he's 35, but if he looks a really old 33, 34, 35 in terms of how he moves on the floor. Like, that's one where I don't see the need right now, particularly off of the injury he got in the playoffs. Now he's had wrist surgery. I don't think either of these things are major in their own right, but they wouldn't be pushing me out to be like, oh, let's get the extension done when we know we have him under contract for this season, when we know he may well opt into his player option beyond that, and we still have time. Like, they can extend him next summer, right?
Depends what he does. Probably
player option.
But it's much more option. Much more the ball is in his court then. I mean, it is now too, but.
But what do we expect, Chris? Like, with the ball in Chris's court, what do we think he's like? I'm going to hit a Clippers.
Are they running the play?
Yeah.
He's going to catch the ball in the corner.
I think it would make sense to put him on Drew's.
Oh, yeah, Bogdanovich. No. Sorry.
I think it would make sense to put him on Drew's timeline, even if not on the Bobby, Pat, Giannis, 3 guaranteed years and an option. It just wouldn't surprise me at all. But Brooke, I could see, you know, they give him a year for $8 million or something, $10 million. I don't know what the number would be.
I'd want to see this season.
I wouldn't. Brooke. Pay these guys their money.
No, I completely agree with that sentence. I'm just saying, like, from a box
perspective. I don't know, but what's the suspicion of Brooke as opposed to anyone else? Particularly because I don't... What's
Brooke
the alternative
is older
here,
and has
too?
A much worse injury.
Oh, I get that, but what are they doing? Like, they're committing all this to mapping out year
because
to year.
Because maybe, like, it depends on what happens this season. Like, maybe you don't have to give as much.
I think one, Brooke being under contract, if it doesn't work out, you might need a salary more than anything else.
That's fair.
The options aren't really there for him otherwise. Like, I will continue on this. Love Bobby Portis. Glad he's back. Bobby is not the guy. He's not the answer for the Bucks in terms of a long-term five. Brooke is obviously not the answer for a long-term five. In France?
Yep.
Are you talking about Wembanyama?
No, I'm not. But
I expected, too.
Who is in France?
AJ Parker.
No, Serge.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, Jesus.
Well,
that's a joke.
I don't like any of your jokes today, Rob.
To be clear, just to say, I love Brooke. I want him here as long as he can.
Today is the last day to pull a qualifying offer, so we'll have some news at some point. I'm Jordan Wara.
I will. Yep. Can I make one overarching point?
Yes.
To tie this all together, since we have talked about like different, I mean, we've talked about Bucks history and eras, all that stuff. When the ownership, their new ownership, they're not new. They've been here like almost 10 years. Why do you say new ownership?
When 10 years?
It's going. It's
oh, it's
we're closer
14, 15, right?
Yeah, we're closer.
End of that season. Yeah, so we're 7. It'll be 8 years. The end of the season.
Yeah. When they came in and saw the franchise for what it was, which is not much, and we talked about like, oh, Bucks history, it's you're stuck in like, you know, you have to look to the first 20 years to look at actual success and all that stuff. And then you fast forward to now where it's like, there's just this big space that does, you know, you have the 2001 team and nothing else largely around it. And I think from that perspective, like we're talking about guys that have been with the organization for a long time. And yeah, Ty is right. He hasn't been joking about Pat being the Raptors and having his numbers and all that stuff. But we're at a point where it's like, this is, if you retain these guys and they stay with the franchise for a long time, if they win another ring or, you know, go on to have crazy success as they have been for the last 4 years, that's where it's like, this is, it gets to that point of like, this is the next wave of people that get honored and all that stuff. So that's where it's beyond just Bucks culture in that sense. It's like this stuff like reverberates for years to come. And why, you know, when we're old and gray, we're going to look back on this time and all this stuff. And just
it's like next year for me and you, Jordan.
Yes, I'm already gray.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I've got some grays in the beard.
Yeah, same.
I haven't got that. I feel like that's the real problem. Maybe
Captain
Gray Beard. Them all.
Yeah,
we're gonna look like Bud with our.
But that is to that Jordan. That's the interesting thing for, like, let's say for example, Brooke. Like, I'm not saying any of this is gonna sour with these guys to a point where, but the terms guys finished their Bucks career at too also. Are going to feed into, you know, how they're honored, when they're honored, all of that. Like, that's, you just have to look at the franchise's history for that. And some of the guys who maybe shouldn't have been honored, although we won't get into those arguments right now. They got honored very quickly in some cases because good terms with the Bucks. and the agenda of the Bucks being like, look at this, this worked out, aren't we great, let's put that jersey up there and no one will ever talk about it again. Like, there was an element of that, and there's always kind of narrative pull on certain things where, for example, Brooke, I mean, the other thing with Brooke, how long is Brooke going to play to? Is Brooke like, after this contract, the current contract, could Brooke just be like, yeah, I want to go and be a cartoonist now. Like, I've got all this stuff, which he has seriously talked about for a long time, of him and Robin's plans. Like, does Brooke's timeline and Robin's timeline for their careers even, is that something that they this talk about among themselves?
Season, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Like,
that's a long time. That'd
be so cute if they both retire together to just become,
I would 100% believe
that's what's going to happen. Robin's on the 1 year
together.
Yeah, what? Robin's on the 1 year mercenary train right now. Good luck in Cleveland. Like,
he's making good money.
It's going to line up.
But like, that's the other variable with Brooke. Now, this is a good thing too, and you're going to have the rest of your life to be retired and do what you want. So, I don't know if he's like, no, I'm done now. I'm walking away. I'm going to play baseball to be the Michael Jordan of this. Well, that'd be great if Brooke went to be a cartoonist and then like came back at 38 to win more championships with the Bucks. That's like the stuff of my dreams.
Maybe that's his year in OKC. It's like being Al Horford.
Maybe he will. Maybe he'll be on the West schedule for a couple of years and just like do his own thing until January and then saunter back in. Who knows? I hope they keep everyone forever. It won't happen probably, but I think that would be great. I want to circle back to Pat as we wind down here, because this was the Pat Pod, the reason we convened. Two biggest games of the season, 5 and 6 versus Boston in the playoffs without Chris Middleton. Game 5, 13 points, 1 offensive rebound, 1 steal, 1 block, 4 for 7 from the field, 3 for 5 from 3, 2 for 2 nails, I believe fourth quarter free throws for Pat. Game 6 in Milwaukee, where they almost closed it out. Well, they ended up losing by quite a bit, but they had a chance to close it out in advance. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 6 for 8 from the field, 2 for 3 from deep for Pat Connaughton. Absolutely huge in the biggest games of the season. Did not miss a free throw in the playoffs. Was great in the playoffs for the second straight year. Really excited to have Pat Connaughton on the Bucks with Giannis and the rest of these guys for the next 3 years at least.
Let's get The Rock actually doing that challenge with Giannis and Pat from a few years back. You guys remember what I'm talking about?
I do.
I remember. Yeah.
It was a workout thing. This was back when Pat was only Giannis's workout buddy.
And he got snubbed from the dunk contest. Was that around that same time?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
Wait, didn't he do it?
He did do the dunk.
He did the next year.
Yeah, he did, and then Dwayne Wade waited everybody.
Dwayne Wade's, he's always playing the long game. He went to Utah to get Donovan.
Yeah, look at that sturdy house.
Pat Connaughton went to the dunk contest, did a white man can't jump dunk, had Christian Yelich there with him, and they didn't let him win.
Two MVPs.
Who's better in their respective sport
one,
this season?
One has Christian gone Yelich upwards, one has gone downward.
Who's
I'm
better?
Not that's an Adam question.
Who's better right
this
now?
This is something that they're honestly kind of similarly effective at just doing their role. Although one of them is expected to have a very different role than the other. So there's some adjustment going on that people are struggling with, but
yeah.
Christian Yelich does a job just like Pat Connaughton does a job. They're effective.
Now they
I feel like Pat would Pat would get on base a lot. I mean, he was a pitcher, so
he'd be Shohei Ohtani. I'm calling it right now.
Not a book
take. I have a take for a player that's not even played that sport.
Have you guys got like a visual image in your head of the time Pat threw out the first pitch?
Yes, I saw it yesterday.
I think about this every time, like Pat as a baseball player comes up. I'm like, oh, I might be able to do better than that first pitch.
No,
like that was really bad.
At least throwing heat though.
I mean, if it doesn't matter where it goes, I think I could probably throw it hard. Not that hard, but it just sticks
out
my mind.
Did you say you've never
it's
thrown
like
a baseball before?
Never.
This
never.
Is a
you're
wildly
like Tom
American
Cruise
take.
War of the Worlds. You're like Tom Cruise in War of the Worlds.
This is Adam's most American take ever. I have never done this
States.
Sport.
Yeah.
I could do better than Pat.
No, I'm not saying I'm throwing it like 92. I'm saying if, like, what Pat seemed to do was, I'm going to throw this as hard as I can, and it doesn't matter where it went, which is basically what happened. It's like, yeah, I could just stand up there and be like, I'm going to throw this as hard as I can. It doesn't matter if it doesn't get near the catcher.
What kind of pitch are you going with, Adam?
This is like Sam when I would beat Sam Merrill in a race. This is what this is the evolution of.
I buy that one more than baseball.
I think it's really hard
to throw a ball that hard.
It is.
It is very hard.
I'm not saying that like my top speed is not like 50 miles per hour here. I'm just saying if it's a case of I'm to throw it as hard as I can, it doesn't matter where it's going. Sure, I could do that. That's what Pat did. It was a bad pitch. That's all I'm saying.
It was a bad pitch. You know, it wasn't 50 cent levels.
Did you get it back out there?
I don't know if he wants to anymore. Now, I mean, if he's listening to this,
he was there hanging out.
He was there
hanging out with Jordan Love at a Brewers game only a few weeks ago. Need to get him down there and throw the first pitch again. Maybe talking to business. Maybe Giannis could cut him in on a deal there, and he can live his MLB dream a different way, become an owner.
Would not shock me at all, honestly.
Yeah, wouldn't shock me. Do we have anything else we need to touch on here?
I think we're good.
Okay.
We'll be back in 5 minutes when Jordan's situation resolves itself.
That might be a podcast. Yeah, maybe that's a win in six special.
How dare you?
2.5 hours on Jordan Ward's qualifying offer decision.
Thank you for listening to this episode here on the Eurosup Podcast Network. Make sure you check out gspn.info for all of our links. Make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you can. Check out the YouTube, Substack, everything, all at gspn.info, like I just mentioned. Pod Random, and we will talk to you next time.